loud.
Yeah, I can certainly understand that. I've got kids.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. First, let me say, I really do appreciate this. I know it's taking time away from your family, but...
Well, that's not any problem. Listen, I know that, you know, you're interested in this situation.
Yes, I am, very much. And I hope I can get a book together on it. I don't know for sure if I can, but I sure hope I can.
Well, all you do is give it a shot, and if it works, that'll be good.
That's right. That's a good attitude. Let me ask you a question. First, when were you at Georgia?
I was at Georgia. I went there in 64. That was our first football season there, and stayed for 16 years through 79.
Okay, I thought so. I was there from, I was class of 69, and then I was class of 73 in vet school, so I was there the whole time you were there, I guess.
Right.
I thought so, but I couldn't remember for sure.
Right. And, of course, you know, we raised our family there. Of course, Jeff, my oldest son, was quarterback at Georgia.
Yes, I know.
6 through 79.
Now, didn't he sign a baseball contract?
Yep.
What happened?
He played 4 years with San Diego. He played near Chain. He played as high as triple. He played double-A ball for 2 years and triple-A ball for 2 years. And then he hurt his knee badly in college. Then he had two or three more scopes while he was playing baseball.
Oh, boy.
And so he ended up going to law school out in Phoenix and, in Tempe,
uh-huh.
Arizona State. And so he lives out there now.
Okay, well, that's good. I remember vaguely him signing and being really a highly touted prospect
right.
at the time.
Right.
Well, it's a shame he got hurt, but I'm glad he got into something else.
Well, yeah. Oh yeah. Well, he was disappointed. And, of course, you know, he was drafted in football, too.
Yes.
And he had thought about, you know, going with Buffalo. In fact, he went to spring practice with Buffalo and worked out good and was running first team safety for him, and that's when he had another scope operation. So he ended up, you know, with a bad knee, and he's had five, you know, besides a major operation, you know, he had it scoped, you know, 4 or 5 times.
Oh boy, is he doing all right with it?
Yeah, he's doing fine now.
Okay.
He plays golf and tennis and racquetball. He does it all.
Okay, well, that's good. It's good to hear. Once the kids fade from the minor league scene, you don't know what happened, and it's always
right.
nice to follow them up if you can.
Right.
Okay, well, Jim, I'll ask you 10 or 12 questions, and if you would just answer as short or as long as you want to, please.
Okay.
And if you don't want to answer something, just don't answer it.
Okay.
One of the things I found in talking to a lot of the bonus babies, the reported bonus and the actual bonus were vastly different. What was your bonus?
Well, mine was $48,000, and it was sort of tied in with bonus and salary.
Okay, well, that's a lot of them. Yeah. Well, did you get 3 years salary?
Right. Well, my salary after the first 2 years was separate. Then it was negotiable.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the 48 then was payable on the 2 years, the first 2 years.
Right.
Okay. Who scouted you for the Orioles?
Well, of course. Harris did. Lumen Harris came down and watched me play, you know, in college. And then they came back. He was one of the scouts there with them.
Were other teams after you?
Well, you know, at that time, you know, there wasn't any draft or anything. And
right.
So was the offer that came from the Orioles, and so I accepted that offer. You know, there was so. Actually, there was no other offer at that time.
Okay. That's also a highly variable answer, it would seem. What about your college record? Is that available? If I were to write to Auburn, would I be able to get
right,
it?
Right, right. Okay. They have all the stats down there.
Okay, I'll try that. What about, why did you decide? Was it the money that made you choose baseball over football?
Well, I had always liked baseball, and at the time, without any question, you know, I was raised from a family of four, and my daddy worked steel mill, and of course, about signing a bonus contract. Then, that type of money, $48,000, doesn't seem big at this time, but at that time, one of the biggest bonuses in the South was Pig House had signed for
$60,000.
Mm-hmm. So, at that time, I guess, if you figured on the rate of what money would go today, it'd probably be worth $300,000 or $400,000.
At least.
So anyhow, it was big money at the time, and that was a factor without question.
Yeah, that's an 18. Well, you were 22, weren't you?
Right.
Yeah. Well that age, you wave that kind of money under the nose. Even today, that kind
right.
of money, the kids are going to go
right.
for it. Do you know whose roster spot you took?
Well, not. So I see, when I went up with them, I was sort of a utility player. Mm-hmm. I started out playing third base, but see, I ended up playing some in outfield, and I didn't really take anybody's spot. Richard had a combination of young players and old timers there, guys that were sort of in between being over the hill and having a year or two left.
Right. Yeah. You mentioned him. That's the next question. He loved young players.
Yeah, he did, but I don't think he knew how to handle young players.
Really?
Yes, because he didn't. You know, he didn't play the young players. See, they sort of. Of course, that bonus rule was not a good rule because, you know, a guy had to stay with a parent. They were trying to discourage the bonus contract, see.
Mm-hmm.
And so, with that in mind, I think I would have been better off, you know, down playing in the minor leagues.
Sure. Well, the Orioles roster, 20% of the roster, I guess, at one point were made up of you guys.
Well, see, there wasn't but three bonus players on the team that first year.
Mm-hmm.
And they signed a couple the next year. And one of the guys, Tommy Gastaul, he got killed in an airplane crash.
Right.
And had another guy named Bruce Swango, a boy that came from out west, and he had a little wildness problem. Of course, Wayne Causey ended up staying in the major leagues and playing a good long time. But those were the bonus boys that were there that first, couple years.
Do you, by any chance, I wrote Bruce Swango at Welch, Oklahoma. I figured a town that size and Swango not being the most common name in the world, I'd reach him, but it was returned. Do you, by any chance, know where he is?
No, I don't have any idea. I thought he was from Ada, Oklahoma, same place that Harry Bukine was from.
Well, it's he's up the road from Ada, a few miles, in a little town like 600 or 700 people.
Yeah.
And I guess he's moved because I don't expect there'd be too many Swangos in any place that size.
Unless the Orioles would have an address.
Orioles, that's one of the hardest teams to get any information out of.
Yeah. Okay.
But I'm gonna keep looking. Now, this is a next question is one that I've gotten a real, real, real big variance in. What kind of reception did you have from your teammates?
Oh, I didn't have any problem. I don't think many of the players up there had any hard feelings toward the guys that came in bonus. I think having the bonus contract and being able to have to keep them on the major league roster discouraged the bonus contract. So, I really never did notice it. If it was there, I just didn't notice it.
Okay, well, that's good. That's what most have told me, but some fellas have said there was just outright resentment from some of the established players.
I think a lot of times, if you want to find fault or find problems, you can find it anywhere you want to.
Amen to that.
I was up there really to play ball, and so it never really crossed my mind. It could have been there, but I didn't notice it.
Well, I talked to Wayne Causey. Did I talk to anybody else from the Orioles? I know I talked to him, and
yeah.
He said pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, Wayne's a class guy.
Seems to be.
Yeah.
Really a nice fellow.
He's a real class guy.
What about the adjustment? Jim Small told me that he was at home in high school, and he couldn't stay out after 9 o'clock at night, and then all of a sudden, 2 days later, he was being told how to tip people for carrying his bags in New York City. And he just said the adjustment was almost overwhelming to him.
Yeah.
You were a little bit older. Did you have a problem there?
I roomed with a couple guys. I roomed with a guy named Gil Cohn that had been in the major leagues a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had any problems about, you know, tipping or what to do or how early, he always went to the clubhouse early every day. And so I went with him and we ate together. And so, you know, if you get in with a guy that's, been around, I think it sort of takes care of itself.
Yeah, I guess. And I guess players would be aware.
It worked out that way because I don't think any of the bonus guys roomed together. I never roomed with any of them. The 3 years that I was with the Orioles, I roomed with Gil Cohn most of the time and a guy named Chuck Deering.
Yeah, I spoke with him a while back on just an interview. He certainly was a forthcoming individual.
Yeah, well, Chuck, but those are the two guys I roomed with on the road, so I really didn't.
Well, I think the team would have to, it would be very foolish to put two young men together. together that
right.
just have not been around. The young pitchers I talked with said that the coaching they had was almost non-existent, but of course pitching coaching has changed
yeah.
greatly. What about the coaching that you received? Did you get?
I think Richards was a pretty good, you know, basically him and his coaches, Lumen Harris and Harry McKing, I think he had a pretty good coaching staff. I think Richards was, in my opinion, was highly overrated as a handler of people. I think, you know, I think he had a pretty good baseball mind, but
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how well he handled young players.
Yeah, it would seem from the results he got and from the play.
He really wanted a motivator. I think he expects some of the young players to have some of the savvy and some of the experience that the older heads had, and it just wasn't true.
Yeah, well, it can't be.
That's right.
Well, you spent your 2 years there in Baltimore, and
yeah,
they sent you.
I spent most part of the third year there too.
Did you?
Yeah, right.
Okay. But they sent you down at that point.
Right.
Now, where did you go?
Well, I went to Louisville in the American Association, and that's AAA ball played there, and really enjoyed it.
How long did you play in the minors after that?
Well, see, at one time during that third year, I spotted time with the Orioles. The third year, I played half the season with the Orioles, then I played a little bit with San Antonio, a little bit with Knoxville.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fourth year, when I went completely away from the ball club, I went with Louisville American Association.
Were you still Orioles property then or not?
Well, they had a player working agreement, 10-player working agreement, with Dale Wilbur was the manager, and we had a 10-player working agreement.
Okay. And how many years did you play after that?
That was it.
You hung it up?
Yeah, after 4 years.
Went to coaching?
Right.
Okay.
Coached in high school several years, and then of course I ended up in 64 going to Georgia.
Okay. You said just a few minutes ago the bonus rule is not a good rule, and I don't think that there's a whole lot of people that will dispute that, except maybe somebody like Al Kaline or Sandy Koufax. But
right.
Express it if you can, other than saying it was a bad rule, and it is. Your opinion, your honest feelings about that rule, and what it did to you.
Well, I think it took a couple years away that I could have probably been preparing myself for the major league
play. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the worst thing that it did, because there's not any guys hardly that can step out of college or high school and start playing regular with guys that have the experience.
Of course not.
Mantles and Ted Williams and Hank Byers and those kind of guys and the pitching staff that these teams had. And it was just a situation that you played as a spot player, and most of the experience you got would have been actually getting batting practice and working out and extra workouts. You know, a lot of times young players went out and worked out in the mornings,
mm-hmm.
that nature. But I think I lost 2 years of baseball by the bonus rule, and I think all the players basically did.
Yeah. So what you're saying, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but it hurts you. Jim Pyburn as a ball player.
Well, yeah, I don't think about not only Jim Pyburn, but I think all of the bonus players,
yeah.
maybe with the exception of a player too, like Al Kaline, that came right out of, you know, never played in the minor leagues.
Right. There's always going to be an exception like that.
Yeah,
but for him, there's 10 other guys that played 3 games in 2 years and never heard of him again.
Right.
This is a question, I guess it's going to be hard to answer because if they wave the money in front of a 22-year-old, he's going to take it. But if you went back and you were aware that you were not going to get the playing time, would you do this again? Would you take the money? Would you try to get a minor league contract? What would you do?
Yeah, that's a hard, really hard question to answer. You know, I had no idea of knowing when I went up there how much I would play or how you know how little I would play. I would guess that maybe I might have you know delayed it a year or two, but you know that's really hard to answer. You know,
I know it's not a fair question, really. But okay, let me ask you a question that a couple of fellows have mentioned, and it was always rumored cheating on the bonus. There were guys that. Well, one boy that was mentioned, I don't know if you remember, Walter Strule, he was a catcher for the Tigers.
Yeah.
It was pretty well rumored that he received more than the $6,000, but he still spent his time in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
And several others rumored.
Well, I'm sure that went on just the same thing as college recruiting. I coached in college for, you know, a lot of years.
Yeah.
And, I never was involved in cheating and recruiting, but I know of some people that had gotten involved in it, that, you know, there were things given under the table to certain athletes. And I'm sure there were a lot of players that played in the minor leagues that got more than the five, you know, the $6,000.
Sure.
And I'm sure that was true. You know, that was just a club's way of dealing with it, is working on the table. I'm sure, you know, I wasn't conscious of it. You know, a lot of times, you know, when you're 19, 20, 21 years old, you just aren't conscious of those things like, you know, somebody else might be.
Right, yeah.
Like, I mean, you're another ball club competing against them, and knowing that they're doing that, you might be tempted to turn them into the commissioner or ever what.
Yeah, and of course, it's something that people aren't going around talking about.
Right.
This is not a good question either. I don't know how to phrase it, but all I can say is, do you have regrets from having done this? Do you regret what you did from your career?
I never have looked back in anything. I think your life ought to, you know, you have choices to make, and you make those choices, and you either do good at them or it doesn't work out. But it was a choice that I made at the time. I had a choice to go into pro baseball or stay and play my last year at Auburn. I don't look back up at any regrets. In that 4 years, I had a lot of great experience and met a lot of great guys and got to see a lot of great players play in the major leagues. And, you know, I don't have any regrets, none at all.
Great. I think that's what the answer ought to be. I think the guys that have them weren't looking at it in the right direction. You say you saw a lot of great players. Who was the best player you saw, do you think? This has nothing to do with it.
Well, I think Ted Williams, when you get to basic hitting skills, he was probably the best that's probably played in the modern era of baseball. I don't think there's any question about pure hitter.
Yeah.
And, of course, Mantle was in his heyday when I was with the Orioles, and probably complete. But, of course, Mays was on the other. We played against Mays in spring practice when we were out in Phoenix, because the Giants trained out in Phoenix, and we were training in Scottsdale. But I'd say the two most complete ball players, and of course, have played against Mantle a lot more than Mays.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Mays and Mantle were the two most complete ball players at the time I was up there. And of course, you know, Whitey Ford had a terrific pitching career with the Yankees. Of course, I was always fortunate to play against him a good bit, because I was a right-handed hitter and he was a left-handed pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed the competition and had some good games. But, you know, there were guys that when I went up there, I had read about through my teens that it sort of, you know, you kind of looked at them in awe.
Yes, I can imagine.
Right.
Okay, Jim. This is pretty much it.
Okay.
Unless you have anything you want to add.
No, I appreciate you calling me, and it's good always to kind of go back over and think about some of the things that happened years ago. And like I say, you know, I enjoyed my career, and I wish it had been a better career, but I gave it my shot, and there's no regrets about it. And I hope this book of yours turns out to be a success for you.
Thank you. Well, I hope I get it published. Don't worry about hitting the success part. But let me ask you this. Before, and I always ask anybody I talk to this, because I don't want to ever be accused of misquoting, before I have anything printed, assuming we get to that point, that you have said, do you want to read your part of it?
Well, yeah, it'd probably be nice, but I would think you'd misquote anything I'd say.
Well, you haven't said anything to misquote. You've been very straightforward.
Well, listen, that's fine. You can or cannot.
Okay.
That's your decision.
I feel better about it. You know, it may be 2 years down the road, because
okay.
I still got to do a lot of background.
Well, if you decide to, you have my address, drop it in the mail to me.
Okay, I sure will. Jim,
okay.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate your time.
Okay, well, thank you for your time.
Okay, good night, sir.